After a week's absence, because of our extensive coverage of Windows XP, we're pleased to get back into what has become already a very popular series from Cathy Ann Murther of the Access Technology Institute, looking at the fundamentals of Windows. You can find the Access Technology Institute on the web at www.accesstechnologyinstitute.com. Here's Cathy Ann.
Today I'd like to do some more work in Microsoft Word. I think it's important that you grasp some common concepts of Windows, and one of those is going to be allowing you to manipulate text among different applications and allowing you to add formatting to documents. Now, while some of the commands you're about to learn are specific to Microsoft Word, many of them will also work in other Windows applications, such as WordPad or even WordPerfect. So if you're a WordPerfect user, you might want to try some of these concepts and controls within your own application. When using Microsoft Word, there are a couple of things I'd like to disable before we start to really do a lot of document formatting. When you type a list in Microsoft Word and you start off numbering a list, you may have noticed that Microsoft Word likes to continue numbering for you. It also likes to add bullets to lists where you might not expect bullets to be added. And if you're a WindowWise user, these bullets may not be readily apparent, so it's nice to be able to disable them. To disable them, once again, we're going to access a dialog, and we're going to access a specific property sheet. To disable these options, open the Tools menu, and remember, WindowWise users, if you'd like to use Alt-T, be sure to bypass WindowWise with Insert B first. Insert B, and then Alt-T. Cursor down to AutoCorrect and press Enter on AutoCorrect. This places you into the AutoCorrect dialog, a place I would encourage you to visit. There are some rather interesting options in here. I'm not going to go through all of them today, only a couple, but it is nice to come in here and kind of familiarize yourself with the options available. Once you are in the AutoCorrect dialog, you can read your title bar to be sure. Remember, WindowWise users, Control-Shift-T. JAWS users, Insert T. Make sure that you are on your autocorrect dialog. Press Control Tab one time. Remember that Control Tab will move us through property sheets within a dialog. Then press your Tab key until you hear Automatic Bulleting Lists. Automatic Bulleted Lists. That's a checkbox. Checkboxes are toggled through the use of the spacebar. Just uncheck that option by pressing the spacebar. Press your Tab key one more time, you'll hear Automatic Numbered Lists. If you don't hear Automatic Numbered Lists, you went the wrong way. You ended up in your Auto Format property sheet rather than your Auto Format as you type. So you need to press your Control Tab key twice more and get to that Auto Format as you type property sheet. If you found Automatic Numbered Lists, press the spacebar to uncheck that option as well. WindowWise users, press your Tab key one more time. Notice the option Straight Quotes with Smart Quotes. Uncheck this. Have you ever been reading along and you've heard closing single quote when you know it's an apostrophe? That's because Microsoft Word is replacing the quotes, which would normally be straight for an apostrophe, with a kind of fancy little apostrophe, which looks like a straight quote to WindowWise. And so it is announcing it as such. So WindowWise users also uncheck straight quotes with smart quotes through the use of the spacebar, and then press Enter. That saves your changes. Now you will have the ability to add your bulleting and numbering, but only when you want to add it. It's not going to be forced upon you by Microsoft Word. You are now ready to start experimenting with your text formatting, adding attributes, adding alignment and justification, and any number of other options are available, and we're going to explore a number of them today. I'd first like to talk about cursor placement and deletion. One of the most important things you're going to have going for you as we progress through this lesson is your ability to understand exactly where your cursor is at any given time. If you type a passage of text, for example, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of our country," we can begin to practice cursor placement. If you type that passage of text, just use your home key to go to the beginning of the line. And if you move through the text one letter at a time with your right arrow key, you will find that as you move letter by letter, the letters are announced. Now, the letter you hear is the letter currently focused. If you're not sure of what letter is currently focused, WindowEyes users press Control 4 on your numeric keypad. JAWS users press 5 on your numeric keypad. You'll hear the current letter announced. Now, what will be deleted if you hit the delete key? The current letter or the previous letter? This is important. It's something a lot of people don't understand. When you hear that current letter read to you, whether it be an M, an N, a P, an S, whatever it might be, when you hit that delete key, that current letter, the focused letter, will be the letter that is deleted. When you press the backspace, the previous letter will be deleted. So if you typed the sentence, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country," and you are on the sea of country, pressing the delete key will delete the sea. Pressing the backspace will delete the space before the C. Take some time and really gain an understanding of what's happening when you delete text, whether it be the current letter or the previous letter. It's important that you understand cursor placement, especially as you start to cut, copy, and paste text, because you're going to want to make sure that formatting is correct before you insert text when it comes to reorganizing documents, which you can do. Maybe you're typing a document and you find that paragraph 5 would look better as paragraph 2. Well, having the formatting set before you paste that text into its proper location can be very important and save you a lot of work. So you can delete a single character with the delete key, and you can delete the previous character with the backspace. How about another command? You're focused on the sea of country, and you'd like to delete that entire word. Very easily accomplished. To delete the current word, you press Control-Delete. Notice that the entire word is gone. This works throughout Windows. You'll find it works in Notepad, it works in Microsoft Word, it works on the Internet, it works in WordPerfect. Notepad, a little bit funky. It'll delete all the way to the end of the line, so you don't want to do it in Notepad. But it does work in most standard word processors. Control-Delete deletes the current word. If you're in the middle of a word, for example, playground, and you're focused on the G of the word playground, and you press Control-Delete, you delete from the current letter forward to the end of the word. Spacing is maintained. So it would delete ground and maintain the space after ground. So if you have, "I went to the playground to play with my sister," and you wanted to delete ground, you could just face it on G, press Control-Delete. Ground would disappear, and all you would have is, "I went to the play with my sister." Doesn't make sense, but you could do it if you wanted to. So, Control-Delete deletes an entire word if you're focused on the first letter of the word, or the remainder of the word if you're focused in the middle of a word. Now, how about the previous word? Easy. Control-Backspace will delete the previous word and maintain the spacing. So here's an example. "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of our country." You're focused on the sea of country. Control backspace will delete "our" and the space after it, so you only have one space between the words. It maintains your spacing within the document. So it will delete the previous word and any additional spaces. If you are on playground and you're on the G of playground and you press Control backspace, it deletes "play" and leaves you with "ground." It deletes from the cursor location back to the beginning of the word. Play with that. Experiment with it. I think you'll find it'll save you a lot of keystrokes. And because we are so keyboard intensive, it's nice to be able to save keystrokes and save that repetitive stress on our wrists. So if you can delete an entire word with Control-Delete rather than delete, 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 sure can save a lot of work. So I encourage you to start incorporating those into your everyday keyboarding. Delete the word, Control-Delete. Delete from the current letter to the end of the word, Control-Delete. Delete the previous word, Control-Backspace. Delete from the previous letter back to the beginning of the word, Control-Backspace. That's text deletion in Windows. Now, how about this cut, copy, and paste I've been talking about? This is a really nice feature of Windows because you have the ability to take text and copy it from one document to another, or you can copy it from one document and paste it into another. And this works within Microsoft Word between documents, and it also works within applications. Copying a credit card number from Microsoft Word onto the Internet, copying an address from your email into Microsoft Word or into your address book, easily accomplished with cut, copy, and paste. To do this, I'd like you to type a passage of text into your document, and then I would like you to go to the top of the document with Control Home. Make sure that you have some text which you can copy, and then go to the top of the document. Now, remember those Windows navigation commands you learned. Right and left arrow to move letter by letter. Control right and left arrow to move word by word. Page up and page down to move screen by screen. Home and end to go to the beginning and end of a line. Control home, control end to go to the beginning and end of a document, etc. All of these keyboard commands, in conjunction with one other key, will allow you to select text in a document. To select text, you hold down the Shift key and then use these keyboard commands. So, for example, Shift right arrow will select a letter at a time. If you have text within your document and you'd like to give it a try, please do so. Hold down your Shift key, don't let go of it, and tap your right arrow. Tap your right arrow again, it will select another letter. And you'll hear them as it becomes selected. Now, in the previous lesson, we discussed configuring your application. This is especially important for WindowEyes users. If you don't hear the selection taking place or if it seems to be going backwards, you need to go back to Lesson 2 and check out your configuration. Make sure you separated those toolbars, that your ruler is visible, etc. Very important that you do so. Now, your Shift right arrow selects a letter at a time. Remember, Control right arrow would allow us to read a word at a time. Control Shift right arrow will select a word at a time. You want to unselect a word? Control Shift left arrow. So you have the ability to move backward and forward, selecting and unselecting text, a letter, or a word at a time. How about to the end of a line? Shift end. How about to the next screen? Shift page down. How about to the end of a document? Control Shift end. Do you see your Control end would normally take you to the end of the document? Add the Shift key, you're selecting to the end of a document. Unselect some text, Control Shift up arrow, Control Shift left arrow, whatever you want to do. Now, when you're selecting line by line, you have to think in terms of columns. Remember that each letter is associated with a column. I space went to the store. I would be in column 1, the space would be column 2, W would be column 3, etc. When you hold down your Shift key and use your down arrow, you're moving to that same column in the next row. This is where columns come into play. Each letter is a column. And when you use Shift down arrow, you're not going down and selecting the entire next line. You're selecting to the same location in the next line. So if you'd like to get to the end, you also need to hit your end key, Shift end, to select to the end of that next line. Very important. To select to the next paragraph, Control Shift down arrow. Remember, Control down arrow would normally move you to the next paragraph. Select the paragraph with Control Shift down arrow. So it makes a lot of sense when you think about your Windows navigation and just tossing the Shift key. You are selecting text. Now, once you have text selected, you can read that selected text. WindowEyes users, Control Shift M as in marked text. JAWS users, Shift Insert down arrow or Shift Insert 2 will read you your selected text. So you can select some text. Make sure you have exactly the text you want selected by pressing Shift Insert 2 if you're a JAWS user, or Control-Shift-M if you are a WindowEyes user. Now, it's very important that you're careful when you are selecting text. You now have some text selected. What if you accidentally hit a keystroke, a space, a K, an L, an R? Maybe if you hit the delete key. The text immediately becomes overwritten if you hit a key, or deleted if you hit the delete key. Go ahead and try it. You have text selected right now. Press the letter A, or the letter B, or the space bar, whatever it is, and then read your line. Read your selected text. Notice there is none. It's gone. You overwrote it. When you select text, it's in a volatile state. So when you press that key, you overwrote it. When you hit delete, you deleted it. To get it back, all you have to do is press Control Z. Z is in zebra. That will undo whatever was done last. Control Z undoes the last action. And your last action was to delete that text or overwrite that text. So go ahead and press Control Z and then read your selected text again and you'll see that it's back. No harm done. Might be your best friend for a while. Control Z was my favorite keystroke for a long time. Now that you have some text selected, let's learn three more keystrokes. Those bottom four keys of your keyboard. We already know what Z does. Control Z undoes whatever you did. X, C, and V are the next three keys. Control X for cut, Control C for copy, Control V for paste. X for cut, C for copy, V for paste. Those are the bottom four left-hand keys of your keyboard. It's nice that they keep them all together. So Control Z undo, Control X cut, Control C copy, Control V paste. Now you have text selected, let's copy to the clipboard with Control C. Do a Control N as in new to open a new document and then paste the text with Control V and see what you've done. Read your document. Control Home and then read your document and you'll see that the text has been pasted into the new document. You could paste it onto the internet, paste it into an email, paste it into new WordPad or Notepad. You could paste it into any edit field of Windows. You're not limited to just working within Microsoft Word. This is a powerful feature. Let's press Control F6 to go back to the previous document and read your selected text. Notice that it's still there. When you copy text, you're not removing it from the document and you're not removing the highlighting. It's still there. So you need to remove that highlighting. How do you do that? Through the use of any arrow key. Now, your selection of arrow key can have some significance. The left arrow or up arrow will move the focus to the beginning of the formerly selected text. The right arrow or down arrow will move it to the end of the formerly selected text. So depending upon where you would like to be placed within your document, press an arrow key. Left and up arrow will take you to the beginning of the formerly selected text. Right and down arrow will take you to the end of the formerly selected text. So now that you've removed the highlighting, you can continue working within your document. But it's very important when you've highlighted text, you always remember to remove the highlighting. If you don't remove the highlighting, you're going to accidentally overwrite the text with whatever action you take next. If you continue typing, you're accidentally going to overwrite all that text and it will be gone. And if you don't remember it soon, it might be gone permanently. So remember, remove the highlighting. Okay. Now, let's talk about cut. When you cut text from the document, it's gone. You are excising it from the document. That's why it's called cut. The highlighting is removed because there's no text highlighted. You've removed it. So if you select some text, go ahead and select a couple words if you'd like. And then press Control X. Read your document. You'll see the words are gone. Completely gone. If you did it by accident, do a Control Z to undo it. But they are gone from your document. If you did a Control F6, you could go to the new document and paste it in, or you could go to the internet, or you could go anywhere you want. And it's nice to be able to do this, to cut text. There were times when I would be working on a document for school and I would just have this marvelous piece of prose. Well, in my opinion, it was marvelous. I would cut it from the document because it just didn't seem to work for this document. And then I'd paste it into a document where I had a lot of bits and pieces, things that I thought I might like to use in the future. They were just too good to throw away. But they weren't good enough for that document. So I'd paste them into my bits and pieces and save them. And I lost my bits and pieces some years ago, so now all that marvelous prose is lost to the world forever. But, oh well. So you can cut text and then copy it to another document and save it for later use. Or lose it like I did. So you have the ability to cut text from your document and copy text from your document. You have the ability to navigate within Windows. Alt-Tab, go to your mail program and paste the text into an email you're sending me. or go onto an internet forum and paste in a credit card number that you've saved in Microsoft Word. All sorts of different options available to you. Wonderful little feature of Windows. If you're curious about what the clipboard is, it's just a little portion of your memory that is reserved for saving data. It pastes it into your RAM. When you close down your computer or reboot, your clipboard is cleared. When you paste something new into your clipboard is cleared. There is an option to go into the clipboard toolbar of Microsoft Word. It can remember up to 12 entries. And if you'd like to do that, you can simply press Control-CC. And if you'd like to do that, please do so. You've probably copied a couple things by now. So you can just press Control-CC. That'll open up your clipboard toolbar. Press your Alt key to go into your menu bar, and then you can either press Control Tab until you hear your clipboard copy button, or Control Shift Tab until you hear the clipboard copy button, and you may hear that it's disabled depending upon the state of the selection in your text. Once you hear that, use your up, down, right, and left arrow keys, and you can listen to the text that has been copied into your clipboard. Now, it remembers up to 12 entries, so if you copied something, maybe your cousin's address 20 minutes ago, and you know you haven't done more than 12 things in your clipboard, you can use your arrow key and notice that it's going to read each one to you as you access it. When you find the one you want, press Enter, and it's inserted at the location of your cursor in the document. To close the clipboard, all you have to do is open your View menu, open Toolbars, cursor down to Clipboard, and press Enter. So there's a very easy way to access your clipboard. It remembers up to 12 things, and you can use that. But that's only Microsoft Office. If you're working in another application, you won't have that option. Usually, when you copy something to the clipboard, it deletes whatever was there before. Microsoft Word is an exception, and that option is also available in Outlook, PowerPoint, and Access, and the other applications within the Microsoft Office suite of programs. So you can access the clipboard toolbar if you'd like. Now that you have the ability to select text, let's talk about adding attributes to text. You can add attributes to text in a number of ways. You can add attributes on the fly, or you can add attributes after the text has already been written. Let's select all the text in your document with Control-A and hit your Delete key. You now have deleted your text. It's gone. You don't want it back, though. We're not going to do an undo here, because I'm now going to take you on to adding attributes to text. Italics, bold, and underline. Those are the three most common, so let's talk about those first. Let's first type some text. My name is. Just type my name is, and then let's put your name in italics. Do a Control-I. I for italics enables the italics of Microsoft Word. So type Control-I and then type your name. Press Control-I again and type a period. You now have your name in italics. My name is Kathy, and Kathy would be in italics because I enabled the italics, typed my name, and then I disabled the italics. So my name would be in italicized text. How can you be sure of this? Well, simply focus on any letter of your name. JAWS users, press Insert F for font. WindowWise users, press Control-Delete. Now, that delete is on your numeric keypad. Feel your Insert key, that bottom left key. Move in one. Feel that little key next to it? That's your Delete key. Press Control-Delete, and you will hear the attributes of that particular font. And you will hear italic mentioned. You'll probably hear the point size and the font type as well. And you will hear italics. If you hear normal, then you did something wrong. You'll need to try it again. Let's go to the end of the document, Control-End, and let's type, I am taking an online class in Windows. And let's make Windows in bold. I am taking an online class in, press Control-B, type Windows, press Control-B, press your period. You enabled the bold font, you typed Windows, and then you disabled the bold font and typed your period. Control-B is a toggle. It turns it on and it turns it off. Using your left arrow key, focus on any letter within Windows and press that same key. JAWS users, Insert F. WindowWise users, Control-Delete, and check your font. Notice it now says bold. You made that text bold. Same thing would work for underline. You could type the text, press Control-U for underline. Type the text, press Control-U to turn it off. Remember, if you turn it on, you must turn it off. Otherwise, everything remains underlined or in bold or italicized until the end of the document. So you want to be very clear that you turn it off once you turn it on. very important. It is a toggle. So that's how you add attributes on the fly. And there are a vast number of hotkeys for Microsoft Word when it comes to adding attributes. If you would like to see more hotkeys for Microsoft Word, I encourage you to visit www.accesstechnologyinstitute.com and visit the reference card link, and you'll find reference cards for Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all sorts of different applications. And you can look at the hotkeys for Microsoft Word and learn a few more hotkeys that might work for you. If you're a hotkey junkie, that's a perfect place for you to visit, because you're going to find a myriad of hotkeys available to you for Microsoft Word. You now have 3, bold, italics, and underline, and you also have 4 more, undo, cut, copy, paste. So you've learned 7 hotkeys today already. Well, now you have the ability to add attributes on the fly. Let's talk about adding attributes after text has already been written. It's really nice to be able to add attributes after the fact. Maybe you've got a document you wrote a month ago, and you're thinking, God, I really wish I had known this. I could have made that text bold, but now I don't want to go write the whole document again. You don't have to. Let's type some text, or maybe take some text you've already written, and let's add some attributes to it. All you have to do is select the text. Remember the selection? Shift with any Windows navigation keys. You focus on the word you'd like to select, and then press your shift right arrow. Control shift right arrow will select the word. Whatever you'd like to select, just make sure it's selected. Check the selection with control shift M if you're a WindowEyes user. Shift insert down arrow if you're a JAWS user. And then just toggle on the attribute. Control I for italics, or control B for bold, or control U for underline, and remove the highlighting. Remember, remove the highlighting with any arrow key. Up and left arrow takes you to the beginning of the formerly selected text. Right and down arrow takes you to the end of the formerly selected text. Now remember, I told you to turn it on. I did not tell you to turn it off. That's because only the selected text is affected, and if you turn it off, you're just toggling it back off again. When you have text selected, you only are affecting that selected text. You want to turn the attribute on, leave it on, remove the highlighting. That's all there is to it. That's a real nice feature of Microsoft Word, and it works in those commands work in many other applications as well. For example, in WordPerfect, you can use those same commands, because they will also toggle in italics and bold and underline. Many of these word processing programs are moving closer and closer to using the same conventions. So you will find that even though you have WordPerfect, many of the conventions about which I'm speaking will translate quite well to that application from Microsoft Word. You may also use the font dialog to add attributes to text. Now, when you use the font dialog, it's going to affect one of two things. If there is no selected text, it will affect text typed from the cursor location forward, and only new text. If you're typing in the middle of a passage of text, any text already written will be unaffected. Only newly typed text will be affected. If you have text selected, then only the selected text will be affected. Very important to remember that. Whether you're adding attributes through a hotkey or attributes through the use of the font dialog, when you have text selected, only the selected text will be affected. When you have no text selected, newly typed text will be affected. I hope that makes sense. Tried to make it as clear as possible. To access the font dialog, you can do one of two things. In the Format menu, Alt-O, the first option is Font. There's also a hotkey, Control-D, D as in Dialog, will open up the font dialog of Microsoft Word. Now, the font dialog of Microsoft Word 2000 varies slightly from Microsoft Word 97. I'll be very clear when I reach these changes, or where things different, where you guys are going to part company once again. The first option for both 97 and 2000 users is the font field, where you can select the font that is being used. Maybe Times New Roman is the default that's set right now, but you'd like to change it to Sans Serif, or to Arial, or maybe to Terminal, whatever you'd like to use. 3 ways in which this particular field may be accessed. You may simply type in the type of font you'd like to use, Times New Roman, Arial, Sans Serif, whatever it is. You can type in the name, or use your arrow keys. Your up and down arrow keys will navigate you through the list. If you know that the font begins with a particular letter or string of text, you can type in that letter or string of text, and the focus within the list will change to reflect the font most closely matching the string of text you've typed. So if you'd like to, for example, access the T's, you can just type T, and then use your down arrow, you'll find yourself focused among the T's. Press T-I, you'll focus among all of the font styles beginning with T-I. If you type TE, you'll find yourself focused among the text types beginning with TE. So you can use your arrow keys from there to make your selection. Once you've located the type of font you'd like to use, simply press your tab key to move from the field. Don't press enter in this dialog until I tell you to, because if you do, that'll save your changes and you'll have to come back in and continue configuring. So don't press enter, just tab from the field once you make your selection. The next option is your font style, and you'll find regular italic, bold, and bold italic. Now, some fonts already are bold or already are italic, so you'll find that those options may not be available within this field. Perfectly okay. If they already have bold or italic incorporated into the style, you may find the only options you have are regular or regular and bold, because italic and bold italic are already inherent within the text. So you will have varying options here depending upon the font name selected in the first field. Press your tab key. There's your size. You can type in a size, 12, 14, 16, whatever it might be, or use your arrow keys to make a selection. If you are interested in typing in large print, 14 to 18 is the range used for large print in the United States. Press your tab key again, and this is where the 97 users and the 2000 users part company. 97 users, you have your underline option. Use your arrow keys to select an underline option. And 2000 users, you have your font colors. Use your down arrow to expand the list, and then use your down arrow, right, left, up, and down arrows to select among the colors. You'll notice they're all labeled for you, and there's a large number of colors here. I believe there's 40 colors, possibly more, from which to choose. And they're all labeled, from red to blue to mint. You can select the color for your font. When you find a color you'd like to use, this is where you need to press Enter. If you press Enter, that color will become selected. This is the only place you have to select and use Enter within this dialog. If you don't use Enter, you can't get out of the dialog unless you press Escape. Escape will close it without making a selection, and Enter will make that particular focused color the selection for the field. So once again, you access the font color field, use your down arrow to expand it, and then use your down arrow to go into it till you hear your first color. Then your right arrow, up and down, and left arrow will take you through all of the options. If you get stuck on automatic or on more colors, just use your up and down arrow to get out of there and then continue moving around. When you find a color you'd like to use, press Enter. If you decide you don't want any colors, just press Escape. Press your tab key to go to the next field. 97 users, here's your colors. You can select a color here that you'd like to use. And 2,000 users, this is your underline, but it's not accessible. These have not been labeled in either WindowWise or JAWS for Windows. So your best option might be to go look at that hotkey guide. There are a number of options that can be activated for underlining with simple hotkeys. You can underline just the words. You can underline, double underline, do all sorts of things with hotkeys. So I encourage you to go visit the hotkey guide at www.accesstechnologyinstitute.com and see if you can find some underline options that might suit your needs. Press your tab key and you'll find a number of checkboxes. Strike through will draw a line through the text. Double strike through will draw a double line through the text. Superscript bumps the text up a little bit and makes it smaller, 10 to the third power. That 3 would be superscripted. Subscript drops the text below the line a little bit, and that would be subscripted, such as H2O. The 2 would be subscripted. Shadow will add shadow to text. Outline will make the inside of the text so that the background color of the paper shows through. Only the outline of the letters will be visible. Emboss makes the text look as though it's being raised up off of the document, and engrave makes it appear as though it's being pressed into the document. Small caps places all the text in capital letters, but the lowercase letters will be capital, but a little bit smaller in stature than the actual capital letters. All caps is just like having your caps lock on. And hidden would hide the text from view unless you have the show hidden text checkmark checked within the options of Microsoft Word. Now, when you select one of these options, some others might disappear. For example, when you select engrave, emboss will disappear. You can't have both. When you select strike through, double strike through will be grayed out. Grayed out or unavailable. It means that you can't access it because you've already selected an option which is its exact opposite. You can't have something be superscript and subscript. It's impossible. So when you select one option, the other becomes disabled. You'll find a default button on this dialog that allows you to set your default font for Microsoft Word. If your employer wants you to use sans serif size 10 font and they always want it to be in regular and possibly have a color of black, you can set those colors and configurations and then just press the default button and answer yes. And in the future, whenever you load Microsoft Word and load a new document, that particular font will be the font that will be used by Microsoft Word. If you only want to make the changes in this document, just tab to OK and press your space bar, or when you are focused on any field, except when you're focused within the color field, 2,000 users, you need to be focused in any field but the color field, and you can press Enter, and your changes will take effect. So that's the font dialog of Microsoft Word. Once again, remember, if you have text selected, only the selected text will be affected. If there is no text selected, then any text from the cursor location forward will be affected when you type newly typed text. So that's how you add attributes to text in Microsoft Word. Now, what if you make a mistake and you need to remove attributes from text within Microsoft Word? Very easily accomplished, actually. If you have text that is italicized, you can select the text, press Ctrl-I, and the attribute is removed. Be sure to remove the highlighting. The same thing goes for bold and italics. But what if you have text that is bold, italicized, underlined, and colored green, and you want to remove all of those attributes at once? Again, very easily accomplished through a simple keystroke in Microsoft Word. Select the text affected by the attributes, and then press Control Spacebar. Hold down Control, tap the spacebar, remove the highlighting, and then check out your text. You'll see it's returned to normal, the normal default font for the application. You have the ability now to add the attributes to your font, and you can change the size through your font dialog. But there are also a couple of other ways in which font sizes can be changed. You can use keystrokes within Microsoft Word to increase the font size by 2, which would be Control-Shift greater than, and to reduce the font size by 2, press Control-Shift less than. Now, this works in the same way as adding attributes as a toggle. Turn it on, type your text, turn it off. Or you can select your text and then enable it. And if you happen to be focused on a passage of text or a word, when you press Control-Shift greater than or less than, it's going to increase or decrease the font of that particular word. So if it's just one word you'd like to affect, focus anywhere within the word and press Control-Shift greater than, the font of the entire word will increase by 2. Control-Shift less than will decrease the font of that single word by 2. So you can select text, or you can invoke it and type some text and then reduce the size again with the reverse hotkey. It's not a toggle. You need to use Control-Shift less than to reduce the size back to normal. You also have the ability to increase the font by 1. Pressing Control right bracket increases the font size by 1. Control left bracket decreases the font size by 1. So you have the ability to increase and decrease the font size by 1 through the use of the hotkey as well. And there's one other command that you can use, and that is Control-Shift-P. Windowize users, bypass Windowize before you use that command. That's going to take you into an edit field in the toolbar of Windows. And when you press that, you can simply type in the new font size and press Enter. Again, it affects selected text or newly typed text, or the current word currently focused. So if you're focused on the word cat and you change the font size, then the font of that particular word is going to change. Let me repeat that. If you're focused on a word and you use any of these commands, the font size of that word will change. If you have text selected, then the size of the text, the words within that text string, will be affected. And if you have no text selected and are focused on a space, any text type from that location forward, newly typed text, will be affected. Experiment with that. I think you'll see that it works quite well. If you'd like to change your font from within the document, you can press Ctrl-Shift-F. WindowWise users, bypass WindowWise first, and then press Ctrl-Shift-F. And you can just type the name of the font you'd like to use or use your up and down arrow keys until you find the font you'd like to use. As with the point, if you'd like to leave the point size dialog or the font dialog, just press Escape. If you don't find anything you'd like to use, just press Escape. That returns you to your document. If you'd like to affect the change, press Enter. So if you go to the point size, Control-Shift-P, and you type in 12, press Enter, and it takes effect. You go to the point size, Control-Shift-P, press Escape. No changes are made. You return to your document. So Control-Shift-P allows you to change the point size. Control-Shift-F allows you to change the font itself. Alignment of text can also be changed through the use of hotkeys. You're learning lots of hotkeys today. You have the ability to justify text, center it, left align it, right align it, or fully justify it. Left alignment means that all of the text is going to be aligned on the left-hand margin. You could take a ruler and you have a nice clean line down that left-hand side. Everything's pushed up to the left. And the right margin will be a little bit jagged because all of those lines are not of equal length. If you do a right alignment, then all the text is pushed up to the right-hand side of the document, nice, clean right-hand margin. And again, because all of the lines are not the same length, that left-hand margin is going to be a bit jagged. If you center it, everything is pulled to the center. You could fold it in half, and all the lines would meet evenly because you're centering that text on the document. And poetry is centered much of the time. So both margins are going to be jagged, but it's going to be centered right down the middle of the page. Full justification would have a left margin and a right margin that are both clean, just like a newspaper column. They add spaces between the words and a little bit of spacing between the letters to make it look nice, and then both margins are clean. To left-align text, which is the default, by default you're always going to have a left-align margin, Control-L. To right-align, Control-R. To center, Control-E. Why not Control-C? Well, Control-C is copy, remember? So Control-E is used for center alignment. And then you have your Control-U for full justification. Control-U will justify text. So it's a really nice feature of Microsoft Word to be able to invoke a justification for text. When you turn on a justification, it stays on. So if you press Control-E, you are centered until you invoke another justification. You have to have a justification. It's not a toggle. You can't turn it on and off with the same key. So Control-E will turn on your justification. You can maybe type a letterhead, your name, address, phone number, city, state, etc. Press Enter, and then press Control-L to go back to your left alignment. So you want to go to a blank line and then press Control-L. Why? Because the current text will be affected by the alignment, the current paragraph. If you're on the first line of a paragraph and press Control-E, the entire paragraph becomes centered. If you are on the first line of a single line, which you press Enter at the end of it, so you have a hard carriage return ending a paragraph, then just that line is going to be centered. But if you've let it word wrap and you have a paragraph and press Control-E, that whole paragraph gets centered. You don't have to select it. It automatically happens. If you'd like to center more than one paragraph, you'll have to select it, then press Control-E and remove your selection. So you can center text as you're typing by simply turning on the alignment, typing your text, and then turning on another alignment and continuing typing. Or you've already typed a document and you'd like to just center a certain passage. You can select that passage and then press Control-E or Control-R or Control-U, whatever you'd like, and then that selected text will be affected. Now, you cannot center portions of a paragraph. The whole paragraph will be affected. So you can't select, you know, three lines of a paragraph and then do a Control-E. The whole paragraph will be affected. So you can't get around that rule. Not going to happen. So if you would like to center just a few words, then put those few words on their own line and then center it. Or center, type the few words, press Enter, and then go on to a new alignment. So remember, to turn off an alignment, you turn on another. To leave centering, turn on left. leave left, turn on right, etc., and go to a new line to do it because the current line will be affected, the current paragraph will be affected. So that is your alignment. You also have spacing. Works in much the same way. There are hotkeys. Control 1 for single space. Control 2 for double space. Control 5 for space and a half. Works the same way as alignment. You have to have a spacing. So if you're going to turn off your single spacing, you got to turn on your double spacing or your space and a half. If you're going to turn off your double spacing, you have to turn on your single spacing or your space and a half. You have to have a spacing. You can't have everything all climbed up on top of one another. It's just not going to work. So, to turn on your single spacing, Control 1, just start typing. If you want your whole document to be double spaced, just press Control 2, start typing. Go to a new document, Control 2, start typing, the whole document will be double spaced. If you press Control 2 within a paragraph, that paragraph becomes double spaced. If you press Control 1 within a paragraph, that whole paragraph becomes single spaced. The whole paragraph, once again, is affected. When you're working within a document, you want to go to another spacing. Be sure you're on an empty line. Press Enter. Go to the new spacing. And then continue typing. Works the same way for alignment as it does for spacing. You have to be sure of what you're doing. So you have the ability to do your attributes. You can do your alignment. And you can do your spacing. And remember, when you do your spacing or your attributes, the current paragraph is affected. You can also increase and decrease your font size. Now, if you would like, you can add what are called horizontal rules to your document as well. Now, these are not visible with your screen reader. You're going to have to know where you're putting them. You're going to have to understand what you're doing. But these are really nice features of Microsoft Word because they allow you to add some definition to your document. If you're creating a resume, for example, you may put work history in a slightly larger text. Press Enter, add a horizontal rule, it bumps up right underneath the text and adds a line margin to margin. Now, what type of line is dependent upon what you do with your keyboard. There are a number of different types of horizontal rules. Dash, 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 Enter. A single line margin to margin. Underscore, 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 Enter. A bold line margin to margin. Equal, 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 Enter. A double line margin to margin, and star, 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 Enter is a line of asterisks margin to margin. It's a really nice feature, but you have to be aware of where you are putting them. You don't want to put too many within a document. It's real nice for creating a letterhead. You can center your name, your address, your phone number, your email address, maybe your web page address at the top of the document. Go to a new line, left align it, Control L, and then press dash, 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 Enter. And a horizontal rule separates your letterhead from the rest of your document. A real nice feature of Microsoft Word. And then you can just press your Enter key twice and then start typing, Dear Mom, how are you? I'm doing fine. Whatever you want to say. But be aware of where you're placing these horizontal rules because your screen reader is not going to identify them. To delete the horizontal rule, you place your cursor at the end of the previous line where you know it exists. Perhaps you have it at the underneath your letterhead. So maybe your web page address is the last text on your letterhead. You'd go to the end of that line where your letterhead is, and you would go to the first line after the horizontal rule, which might be a blank line. So you'd use your down arrow, use your end key, and then go forward one more space, select it, and hit your delete key. So you would place it at the end of your web page address, hold down your shift key, press your down arrow, go to the end with your end key, go forward one more space with your right arrow, and then press your delete key, and that will delete the horizontal rule. You select from the character before to the character after the horizontal rule, press your delete key, and the horizontal rule will be deleted. So you have a lot of things now that you can do in Microsoft Word. You can type a professional letter. It's a real nice thing to be able to add attributes, spacing, alignment, and to add your horizontal rules. You can create a professional document. Type your name, address, phone number, maybe put it in italics. Add a horizontal rule. Press your Enter key a couple times. Put in the date. Enter key a couple times, Dear Mom, and start typing. And you can write a beautiful letter to your mom. Add all sorts of attributes in it if you'd like to. I have lots more in store for you in this course. And I hope that you will join me again for the next lesson. Same time, same place. Want to visit me on the web? Pay a visit to www.accesstechnologyinstitute.com and feel free to write me. My email is Kathy@accesstechnologyinstitute.com. And I'll catch you here next week on Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
It's time to log off for another week. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Rosen, inviting you to join us again next week for another edition of Main Menu.